Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is Rav, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you are in the world. I hope you are well, and I hope you're coping okay in the aftermath of yet another poor result in the Premier League. This time a loss, a narrow 2-1 loss to Bournemouth at home at the Emirates, a very poor result. There's no other way to really dice this one up or try and spin it. I'm usually pretty positive and pretty upbeat and can see a bigger picture, and that's what I'll certainly try to do in today's recording. However, just straight off the bat, it's a poor result. And I know it's hard in the aftermath of these results, right? I'm feeling a lack of enthusiasm as well to get on and record. I have plenty of thoughts to share, and I'm thinking to myself, if I was at the other end of this recording, what would I want to hear? And in times of doom and gloom, sometimes we can tend to stay away and look, I don't want to deal with that now, and find other things. And that's absolutely fine. If that's beneficial to you and your situation, your mental health, I mean, absolutely go for it, right? Absolutely go for it. I've been there myself. I'm going to approach this one a little bit differently. Yes, I will talk about, I will talk briefly about the game and cover some moments, some incidences, some finishing, selection. I'll cover that. I'll try and wrap that up in a few minutes. More so, I find it more beneficial to me to even process my own thoughts, a bit of self-therapy in a way. There's a wider issue at play here with Arsenal, and there's a number of variables there, of course, to discuss, but I'll try and save that for a bit of a zoomed out picture of Arsenal and Arsenal's season and where we're poised at the moment coming into what is one of the biggest weeks, the biggest matches for the club in decades, the second leg against PSG. So that was quite a long opening and introduction. I hope you've made it that far. And if you did, thank you so much, because I'm going to do this a little bit differently. And hopefully this keeps your attention as well, that you haven't jumped off yet. And hopefully you will continue to listen, because there certainly is a wider pattern, an uncomfortable pattern that I've seen unfolding in the last few months of Arsenal and the Premier League. And it does need discussing, irrespective of what is on the horizon for us. I mean, glory awaits for us in Paris, absolutely. And if we get the job done, if we pull out a monumental performance and effort and defeat PSG to advance to the Champions League final, is anyone really going to be too upset about losing to Bournemouth at home? Do you know what I mean? Like it's one of those things where you can understand the logic on a broad level. You can understand the logic. However, what's making me more and more uncomfortable is that so much depends on that match. So much depends on that result. We can push the league form to one side at the moment, because this is me as a fan talking too. All right, like this is very much me as a fan. I want to get through these games. I want no more injuries. We've suffered enough. We've had enough impact of injuries and unavailabilities. It's derailed our season. So for me, the most immediate priority is to come through the 90 minutes in the Premier League with no more injuries, just to have everyone fit and safe and come through unscathed and get important minutes into their belt and momentum and all that good stuff, right? So for me, the number one priority is the health and well-being of the players and coming through fit. Whereas if we were still in the title race, of course, I mean, I know I'm stating the obvious here, but winning is the most important thing. We need maximum points. We need to collect 3 points if we were trying to keep up with Liverpool, the pace they've set this season, and in the last two seasons with City. Of course, we need to be maximising in the running these crucial months of the Premier League season. We need to be maximising wins. The game's coming thick and fast. Doesn't matter whether you're in Europe or not, right? There's no room to spare. There's no margin for error. You need to maximise points and win. So the priorities now have shifted for Arsenal. As the league season has, unfortunately, what's the right word to it? I was going to say fizzled out, but it's probably a bit more significant than that, right? When you look at the form of the last 10 matches, it's very poor. It's very, very ordinary. And I don't like saying this because I absolutely love the club. Arsenal means so much to me. And like you, I'm a fan, and I want to see us win, and I want to see us perform well, and I want us to win every match and every trophy on offer. However, you have to call it like it is. This is for Arsenal's for Arsenal's rebuild, like the stage we are of the quote unquote project, this is unacceptable. The poor run of results. I think it's 3 wins in our last 10 Premier League matches, 2 losses there now as well, and 5 draws. My apologies if I've got that wrong, but that's just the statistic I remember off the back of my head at this last 10 matches. It's unacceptable. It's poor. It's 21 points dropped in the Premier League from winning positions. 21. That is catastrophic. If you listened to my recording post Palace last week, thank you if you did, firstly. But if you listened to it, you would recall I mentioned that it's not as easy as just saying, oh, well, at the time it was 18 points. It's not as easy as saying, oh, well, imagine we just had the 18 points and add that to our points tally. I know it doesn't work that way. So I'm trying not to be too simplistic about it. The logic I explained in that recording, and I'm doing so again today, is that I understand no 2 Premier League matches are identical. There's always extenuating circumstances. Yes, amidst that figure are some very poor officiating decisions. You know, we copped it hard against Brighton twice between the red card to Rice and then the Saliba accidental head contact for a penalty. There's the Manchester City match in there as well, of course, where we were comfortably ahead before halftime, before another ridiculous Michael Oliver special. So I understand it's not just easy as just applying it now in retrospect. There's always individual circumstances. But aside from the officiating decisions, aside from the injuries, out of the 21 points, I think we can comfortably say that we have dropped the ball. Like we've lost focus, crucially. Imagine half that tally, even just add 10 points to our Premier League season, our Premier League campaign, it changes the entire complexion, right? We'd still be in it. And I know then, naturally speaking, it means that the intensity of these matches, the effort, the focus would be completely different too if the players and the club knew that we are still fighting for the Premier League title. I know the two things go hand in hand. But Arsenal have really botched this. 21 points across the course of a season, even accounting for the injuries, even accounting for we've had some bad luck too, it must be said. Even accounting for some inexplicable refereeing decisions that you just don't see elsewhere, you can apply all of those variables to it, yes, and still the part that was still within our hands, our control, you can still comfortably and I think validly say that Arsenal did not do the job. We did not do our business, even accounting for all of the other very valid contributing factors. I don't think it's too unreasonable to say that when it was up to Arsenal, when it was in our hands, there were a host of matches in there where we had it within our grasp and we botched it. And I don't think that's too outlandish to say. We need to look at ourselves too, as much as, like I've said, I'll just repeat this again so no one just is screaming into their earphones thinking, Rav, but what about that decision? And I get all of that. I'm applying all of that. There's still a large percentage of matches / points that we have stumbled over. And that is, the onus is on us. The accountability and the responsibility rests with us, with the manager, with the club, with the players. There's no hiding from that, and that's what gives me most regret this season. That despite everything that we have experienced, we still had a chance here. There was still a moment in the last few months where, you know, there was a pathway for us to still try and mount a sustained Premier League title campaign. And sadly, we haven't done it, and that's on us. Depending if you're a glass half full or glass half empty individual, we all vary there. However, if you're glass half full, well, you can take some solace from that the club can reflect in the summer and know that hey, you know, a lot of this was within our grasp, and we can do something better. We can apply some learnings from these mistakes to next season to ensure we don't repeat the same mistakes. So, look, I'll cover the match itself now. I'll try and be as succinct as possible because the match itself was poor, right? The second half in particular. We were largely in cruise control. It was largely a pedestrian first half, right? But that's okay. It's not everything needs to be helter to skelter from the first minute to the last. And you don't have to blow teams away, right? Arsenal had the chances to get that done, though. We should have been ahead more than just the 1-0 at halftime. It was a lovely goal, by the way. Beautiful to see that ball from Odegaard. Rice, he'd been threatening all day, hadn't he? He arguably could have... This could have been his second goal. Some tough half chances beforehand. But, you know, in the rich vein of form that he's been in the last few months, he'd probably be kicking himself that he didn't score one of those earlier ones. Trossard, too, had an excellent header. That was very well saved right on the goal line. So we'd certainly created enough to score that crucial second goal, which sadly, it sums up Arsenal's season. So often we have not capitalized when we've had the momentum, we've had the dominance, not just in terms of possession and those sorts of stats, but the dominance in terms of control of the tempo of the match. We had them at arm's length. And we didn't capitalize. And sadly, in the Premier League, look, the margins are so fine, right? When you're only leading by one goal, it just literally takes a moment. And too often, Arsenal have been undone by that moment this season. To be fair, Bournemouth should have been level as well. Sorry, they should have been ahead first. That was a very poor header right in front of Leno. The replays don't look great for Kiwior. Unfortunately, he stumbled. Right as the cross came in, and he really should score from there. He should be getting that header past Raya. So maybe we were lucky there as well. So we certainly weren't the only team who missed chances. But aside from that moment, like Bournemouth, they didn't really create much. They just played within themselves, and they rode their luck as well. And hats off to them, because in the second half they smelt blood, and they certainly took it. Arsenal conceding from a long throw. There's a little bit of Stoke-related PTSD in a football sense, right? Because you just shouldn't be conceding from a long throw. That was like a decade ago, Delap away on a windy night at Stoke, Tony Pulis losing his mind on the sidelines. Jeez, he hated Wenger and he loved to stick one up Arsenal back then as well. We just couldn't handle, we couldn't deal. And another poor statistic that reflects very poorly on Arsenal, only Ipswich, Southampton, Wolves and Manchester United have conceded more from set pieces than we have in the league this season. That's a terrible stat. That's terrible. And just, it's unprofessional. It's not good enough for a team that is aspiring to win the Premier League title, and I certainly remain confident we will do so, hopefully next season. It's just not good enough. This shouldn't be happening, and I know there's a lot of conjecture about the winner itself. Did it come off his arm? I mean, some replays show it pretty clearly. Some are not as conclusive. We weren't going to get much from Gillett. I mean, he's a Liverpool fan, right? Just for context, the last match against Bournemouth, Bournemouth have done a double over us, by the way. That's another poor stat. 0 points from six against Bournemouth. Oh dear. Anyway, Gillett was the one on VAR that day who upgraded Saliba's yellow card denying a goal scoring opportunity challenge. He upgraded it to a red. And of course, Arsenal's next opponent in the Premier League at that time was Liverpool. And we faced them without Saliba. And then we ended that match with, Gabriel got injured as well. And it was no surprise that in the closing minutes, Liverpool equalised. That's one of the regrets that I mentioned before as well, in terms of the circumstances, the contributing factors to dropping so many points from winning positions. So anyway, look, I said I'd covered the match succinctly, so I will. I'm really baffled. Ethan Wanneri, what does he have to do to get game time? It can't be a question of fitness or something, right? Because he's barely played, he's barely featured. He's getting junk minutes, which I'm really disappointed with. He's coming on the 86th minute again. And the old stuff that just continues to rear its head with Arteta and rotation. And again, I will try and as I move towards a wider point about Arsenal's regression in the league this season and just some repeated mistakes and patterns I'm uncomfortable with. As I move away from the match itself and to cover this point, I also need to disclaim all the contributing factors as well in terms of rotation. We saw Arteta in the pre-match press conferences the last few days. He's lamented, understandably, the lack of availability of the likes of Gabriel, Kai Havertz, Jorginho, Tomiyasu. Who am I forgetting? I'm certain I'm missing more. I think there was six or seven. Well, Thomas Partey, in terms of the PSG match, but he's now back fit and available. My apologies. I'm certain I'm missing some more players. Calafiori, of course. Calafiori was a huge signing for Arsenal last summer, and his knee injury in the March international break was meant to be minor, right? It was meant to be just a couple of weeks, but sadly, it hasn't been. We've ticked over into May now, and it's been like a 4 to 6 week type of injury time frame, which is very unfortunate because we can certainly use him as well. But look, we're not blessed with options. It's a large contributing factor to why we've seen Odegaard continue to struggle. There is Ethan there, though, in the wings. Like, he is there. He can come in and take minutes off Martin Odegaard, who I do believe needs a break, needs a rest, just to bring him out of the firing line, sit him down, just have a breather, right? I think it could be so beneficial for him because he's under immense pressure and scrutiny as each match ticks on and his performances are not quite up to his usual standard. He's clearly hampered or injured or affected by that. I'm just convinced he's playing through pain. I know much has been said about his appearance and his weight, and look, whilst it's not a topic I comfortably like addressing, I do need to acknowledge that there is something to that. He looks a lot lighter and leaner than he has been historically, and again, that's okay because quite often with such a severe injury like that, an ankle injury, if he's playing through inflammation, it might be beneficial to him to just lean up a little bit, trim down the body weight so it can just cope with the workload. You can hopefully then just try and minimize the amount of pain and inflammation during matches and post-matches. So it might just be a thing that we've just seen between Odegaard and the medical team, right? So I do think that he's playing through. He's significantly hampered. He has to be, right? Because this is a wonderful footballer, our captain, twice successive, you know, player of the season for us. Big. He's a big player for Arsenal. Right? Like, I make no qualms about that. He's so important to Arsenal, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he needs to have another procedure in the summer and just rest up and recuperate because, yeah, this is one of the things where we don't have the luxury of other players coming in. Now, last summer, we exited four attackers. Reece Nelson on loan, Vieira on loan, sold Nketiah, and we sold Smith Rowe, right. Now, whilst I believe all of those players for their own sakes and for the club's sake needed to move on. We got some very good fees for a couple of them as well. We didn't strengthen in that area, right? The logic at the time was that it'll create the internal pathway for Ethan Nwaneri to emerge and come through. And he certainly broke through, right? So take nothing away from Nwaneri, who I think we're very blessed to have. He's a wonderful footballer. I really enjoy seeing him play. However, the facts have been laid bare that it didn't create the pathway for him because Arteta hasn't utilised him in that position. Almost every minute of every match, 2-3 times a week, we are putting Odegaard in there, and his workload, right, has been significant as a result. And I don't think it's been to the team's benefit. I believe it's been detrimental to the team sometimes, to himself. And this is not a good situation to be in. Like, how is it that Arsenal? I mean, I know there's a bigger, wider discussion, more scrutiny to be had on Arsenal's transfer window choices last summer, which was and then the lack of activity in January. We all know the impact it's had on our season. You know, hard questions continue to be need to be asked. Like, what were we thinking? What was the club's logic in doing this? Because we have left ourselves so light on. Can you imagine if this was a Premier League match and last week against Palace and the week before in Everton, there's been so many drop points recently. Can you imagine if we were trying to balance crunch matches against Real Madrid in the Champions League and now PSG with then crucial matches on the weekend in the Premier League where we have where we've needed to win to perhaps, you know, close the gap on the league leaders or extend our gap, you know, if we were in a title race. I just don't think Arsenal are there as a squad. We just don't have the adequate squad depth at the moment. And yes, again, I understand injuries have caused a big impact. However, even with the options that we've had in the squad today, like, he's not rotating. I'm glad White came in for Timber because he certainly needs the minutes and Timber needs a rest. However, Kieran Tierney could come in and just give Miles Lewis-Skelly a bit of a breather. I mean, remember, he's 18 as well, and you know the workload for him has been incredibly high the last few months. I understand, of course, Partey needed to play. He needed to step in because we need him fit and firing for Paris midweek. Jorginho is a massive blow. And I really thought, and I said this in my recording as well, post PSG first leg, that Jorginho's loss has been monumental for Arsenal, because he would have allowed Declan Rice to play that roaming box to box all action midfielder that he's becoming, and he's a weapon at that. That they couldn't handle him when he was charging forward, and as time goes on, I do believe he's found his natural position as the left eight, because he's a powerhouse. As his running power, his strength, his fitness, his engine, his size, right? They can't handle him. And I'm certainly hoping we see more of that. Now, him released in Paris this week and Partey being back, it just changes the whole dynamic of midfield, changes the entire dynamic. But I'll just continue my point before. I'll cover more of a preview of PSG closer to that match. But just to finish off my point, the likes of Jorginho, Tomiyasu, Gabriel, Havertz, you know, of course they're crucial absences. Gabriel Jesus, I'm so sorry, he was the one I was missing as well. Like, all of them would have played, of course. All of them would have played between this match or midweek against PSG or last weekend in the Premier League against Palace. I know we've got some crucial absences, and it basically sucks. It's unfortunate for Arsenal. We're in this position. Even acknowledging all of those crucial absences and very important players amongst them, Arteta still doesn't rotate that much. I mean, I've already covered one area. I'm baffled why he's not getting more minutes. Absolutely baffled. But you could have taken someone else out of the firing line, right? If he'd chosen some more rotation options. I know Sterling's not really a viable option. I'm not saying that he is, but we've got some youngsters there as well who have been in the system for quite some time. They've been training, right, for a number of months, especially with the injuries Arsenal has suffered since the new year. So he's not really rotating players much anyway. And Arteta's subs are just too late. They're just happening far too late. I mean, what are you expecting, Smith? Smith Rowe was in the back of my mind because he too, in seasons gone, he's been given junk minutes, comes on in the 90th minute, and now Wanneri is experiencing similar. Like, what are you expecting them to do in that time? If you recognize an issue or someone is flagging, right, you can see some of the players are gassed, make the move. Make it 10, 12, 15 minutes earlier. Like, allow them some more capacity to impact the matches. And it's just not happening, sadly. Yes, as much as we're hampered by injuries, still we do have options on the bench, right? Some rotational options, and he's just not pulling the trigger soon enough, unfortunately. And another point I just want to mention about Arteta, and look, I'm quite happy to be on my own on this one, right? Because there's a very, very fine line between just the passion and energy that we see Arteta transmits. He uses that word a lot about the energy someone transmits within themselves and onto others, right? So he's very big on that as a characteristic, as a value, right? So we are all accustomed to Arteta being very animated on the sidelines. I mean, I know it's a bit of a meme sometimes that he's hardly ever within those allotted those dotted lines that they have on the sidelines for each manager. He's very rarely actually in them. Sometimes he's right on the byline. It looks like he's about to charge on and make a tackle himself, right? I know it's largely poked fun at, right? So the players are well used to him being very vocal and very animated. Just in the last week or two, and It wouldn't surprise me at all, right, if my theory is true, because Arteta is a human being just like we all are. And with the weight of what we've experienced this season and how much pressure we're under and how much pressure and reliance there is now on the Champions League, there's a very fine line between that energy and being really, really distracted. And what I noticed in the home leg against PSG was that Arteta was absolutely losing his mind almost over everything, almost every decision. I mean, there was even a time where he had the UEFA official, who they have them dressed differently. I guess they're the equivalent of the fourth official in the Premier League, that the UEFA official was standing right next to him with their arm extended out to him for him to go no further, right, to not protrude any further amongst his box. It's just bizarre. Look, I'm probably not explaining this point correctly, but I do believe that he's tipped over. It's a very fine line, I know, between that passion and energy on the sidelines to being just very aggressive and very distracted. He was losing it almost every 50-50 ball, every decision. You can visibly, audibly see him swearing and losing his mind, gesturing a lot, very, very physically gesturing. Of course, he looks to the crowd a lot to try and get the crowd to pump, to pump the players up and what. I'm just thinking to myself, like, at some point, like, he needs to just be a bit more calmer as well, a bit more composed, because there's so much of the match still to go. And of course, it's only half time, right? We just needed some cool heads, just some collected, composed thoughts, right? And I know everyone's different. Human nature is different. Personalities are different. The other Arsenal assistants, like Stoyvenberg, for example, he's a lot older and wiser, and he just has a different way of going about it. But you don't see anyone else really gesturing aggressively as much as Arteta was. And there was times when I was thinking to myself, where if you're a player and you've got him so amped up on the sidelines, so, like, you can't help but feel distracted from that. I don't know, that sometimes energy permeates, right? It transmits in positive ways. It can sometimes transmit in negative ways. Can be a very fine line between them. But Arteta was losing his mind again this season. I get it. We've got every right, every reason to be frustrated and to feel those emotions and to feel those feelings from our experiences. I'm not taking anything away from the validity of all that. I was just thinking to myself a couple of times, I have not seen him this wildly losing his mind in a long time. It took me back to the COVID days. Does everyone remember them, when they were playing in empty stadiums? And you could almost hear every kick. You could hear every whistle so loudly, every tackle, every crunch, the players talking just from where the microphones were placed on the sidelines in the technical areas, right? Because there was no crowds. There was no background noise. So audibly, you could hear everything. And I remember thinking to myself, like how different this is going to be, because when crowds are back in the stadium, because a lot of that would then be muted or then sort of drowned out by crowd noise, background noise. But there was something about watching him against PSG and again today. I was thinking to myself, what? I have not seen this or heard this since those COVID days. And that's bizarre, because it's been many years ago and we have advanced so much more in the years since. We're in the Champions League semi-final, right? You don't get there without a sense of maturity, professionalism, calmness, and we have demonstrated that time and time again over the course of that journey. So it was just bizarre to see a little bit of a throwback. Just as much as I was saying before, conceding from a long throw was a throwback to years gone by, seeing Arteta so aggressive, to me, it wasn't a good throwback either. And I'm just hoping, just internally now, I know there's a lot of noise, a lot of distraction. So much of our hopes is now pinned on Paris on Wednesday evening, Thursday morning here in Australia. I think I'm confident we are going to get the job done. I just am, because I just believe in the club. I believe in the players. However, we're not going to get it done if we don't just have a sense of calm. Just some cool heads here, please. Take a breath, right? We know what we need to do. Focus, prepare well, and go out there and get it done. I'm just hoping now in the next few days we can just dial the temperature down a little bit and just focus and breathe and just apply ourselves in the best possible way Wednesdays. Look, that was a large thought. Look, please let me know if you feel similar about what you know, am I way off? Do you see where I'm coming from? Do you agree? Do you have any comments or suggestions? I'd most appreciate anyone letting me know, because from what I've seen creep in this last week or so, it hasn't been good. And look, I'm not going to get into the whole pre-match stuff on against PSG with the TIFO thing as well, because that was a bit of a debacle, right? I just think we didn't prepare well in a number of ways, and that didn't reflect well on the club. The first 20 minutes didn't reflect well on Arteta, right? He's made mention a number of times that we recognised something in the first 20 minutes, and since we adjusted, right, you know, we were right back into the game, and we arguably deserved to score and get and end up in that match in a draw. But you can question the preparation, right? Just as much you can say, what were the club thinking about such an inadequate banner or TIFO, that cannon that wasn't even displayed correctly? Just as much as you can say, what were the club thinking? You can also point at Arteta and think, well, how were we so underprepared for that first 20 minutes? Like, how did we not know something so glaringly obvious that PSG picked us apart? And sadly, in taking that long to adapt to the game, they're one goal ahead. And who knows how crucial that could be? Look, it remains to be seen. It's still half time. But I just don't think the last week or two has reflected well on Arsenal, our preparation, our composure. And that's just, I can still love the club, right? Two or more things can be true at once. I can still love the club while just giving some valid critique, what I believe to be valid critique, that I'm just hoping to see that corrected, steered in the right pathway. It's halftime. I'm confident we can get the job done. We're only going to be able to do it, though, if we just collect ourselves, right? Remember how we got here. We got here because we believe in ourselves. We believe in the football we play. We're composed. We manage the key moments. We manage the key duels, and we come out on top, right? I would like to see us revert back to that, because it's proven to be very successful for us so far to get to where we are. So look, that was a tough, that might have been a tough listen. I'm going to wrap this one up. It was certainly tough and a bit therapeutic as well for me to compartmentalize and talk to and talk about in this recording. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. Please let me know any feedback. I'd most welcome, I know it sounds a bit cringy now on the back of such a poor result and a poor loss, but if you feel so inclined to leave me a like or subscribe on YouTube or a review on your podcast platform, I'd be so grateful. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back on again, hopefully a bit more upbeat in the lead up to the crucial match against PSG. And until then, look after yourselves, stay safe, stay well, and come on, Arsenal.